God wants everyone on earth to know him personally. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us about who God is and how he can impact our everyday lives.
Listen, we've got to let the Word of God dwell in us this morning. We've got to hear from Jesus. I'm telling you, you've got the internet, you've got television, you've got bad news, you've got good news, you've got a mean boss, you've got a nice boss, you've got Little League, you've got bowling, you've got all these things. But when you get to the place where the Word of God is open, my friend, then you must say, I've got to hear what God wants me to hear today.
Jesus was not just a savior. He was also a friend, a teacher, and mentor to his disciples. In our series, Lessons from Jesus, we will discover practical ways to apply God's principles to our everyday lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus taught his disciples lessons that would later become truths illustrated in the New Testament. Today, we will get a glimpse into how Jesus used teaching moments to reveal principles about the kingdom of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Sitting at Jesus' Feet.
And here we see Martha is all over the place, and Martha's cumbered about and doing all this stuff. But let's look at her sister Mary in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. So here we see Mary is a devoted student focused on Jesus. She is sitting at Jesus' feet. That tells us she is sitting near Jesus. Her worship of Jesus brought her as close as possible in place and posture to Jesus. Mary understood, look, we're always going to have the dishes to do, but we may not always have Jesus in the house. And Mary understood the importance of, while he was there talking, we don't have to worry about how much egg salad is left, or how much fruit salad is left, or whether the iced tea needs to be refilled. When Jesus is talking, she says, what I need to be doing is sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing what Jesus has to say. There's something to be said about our place and our posture in worship. There's something to be said about making in your life a priority of getting at the feet of Jesus. There's something to be said about having daily time where you open the Bible and you read it and you say, Lord, speak to me. There's something to be said about coming to church and saying, I love the music, I love the announcements, I like it all, but what I really need, I need to hear what Jesus wants me to hear today. Sometimes I tell parents of teenagers, look, grab your kids off the back row and bring them up to the front. Sometimes it's good just to switch around. Now, it's hard on pastors because we take attendance by where you sit. But if you ever get to a place where you feel like you're not listening as well as you should, or there's a distraction of some kind or whatever, I'm telling you, get to a place. Get your place like Mary did. She said, I've got to be right here at the feet of Jesus. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. I want him to tell me what I need to know. Mary was a devoted student of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a principle in the New Testament, and you'll find it many times, and the principle is that we must worship first and then serve from the outflow of that worship. For example, Jesus, when he was calling his disciples, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Always you're going to find following or worshiping Jesus first. You read in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you'll find just two verses prior that the disciples fell down and worshiped Jesus first. You see, if we're going to be effective long-term servants of Jesus, we have to learn how to sit at his feet. And just as we must put fuel in the car, and just as we must maintain the airplane, the fact of the matter is you can't drive forever, you can't fly forever without maintenance, without fueling, without filling up. So it is for the Christian. You can't serve forever without sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Mary was a contrast to Martha. Mary had learned how to sit at the feet, how to listen. Notice what it says there in verse number 39. It says, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Here was a woman that was truly ingesting his teaching. She was feasting on the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen, we've got to let the word of God dwell in us this morning. We've got to do whatever it takes. You need to take notes, fine. You say, I don't do well taking notes, then just listen. You've got to pinch yourself to stay awake. You've got to sit on the front row. Whatever it takes today, we've got to hear from Jesus. I'm telling you, you've got the internet. You've got television. You've got bad news. You've got good news. You've got a mean boss. You've got a nice boss. You've got Little League. You've got bowling. You've got all these things. But when you get to the place where the word of God is open, my friend, then you must say, I've got to hear what God wants me to hear today. Amen. We got 30, 40 minutes of it this morning. We've got maybe 30, 40 minutes tonight, but I'm telling you, when you're at the house of God and the word of God, this inspired, infallible book is open, I'm telling you, we've got to hear what this book says. Say, oh, I've enjoyed the Olympics and I like watching basketball and all the rest of it. Don't do it at the expense of your Sunday night church. Don't do it at the expense of your midweek service. Don't do it at the expense of your personal devotion. I'm saying one thing is needful, and Mary figured out that one needful thing. And the one needful thing is that we must hear what the Lord has to say. Yes. Martha was too busy and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Notice this verse. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God says, when my word is open, I want you to be like a little baby that just can't get enough of it. Listen, the fact of the matter is that we ought to sit up and be ready and be prepared to hear the word of God and recognize that we must be somebody with God before we do some things for God. And there ought to be that spirit that says, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. You know, as preachers, we kind of do our best to observe people, and body language says a lot. You know what? You can tell when somebody likes preaching. They're listening. They're writing something down. They're nodding with you. They want to get what God's word has to say. And that's what Mary was doing. She said, I got to get close to Jesus today. I don't know everything, but I know I need help. I need what Jesus has to say. And so we see a comparison. But notice, secondly, we hear a complaint. Now notice what Martha says in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, Martha is going to register a complaint. And I want you to know that when you complain more than you should, it might be an indication that you are not at Jesus' feet as much as you should be. Let me give you a little verse. Some of you have memorized it. It's in your notes. You ought to highlight it in your Bible. Look at the verse, Psalm 119, 165. Notice what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, let's say it together. Ready, begin. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Sometimes I'll meet some Christian, and they'll say, I need to talk to you. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I always have the same thought. You better keep it. I'm not sure you have many pieces to spare, but there's no peace. No peace. But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. Now Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She had the peace of God. Martha was so busy getting that casserole ready, she'd kind of forgotten devotions. Martha was so concerned about how she appeared that she was losing peace because she was trying so hard to please people. And I want you to see that this Martha makes an improper accusation against Jesus. Martha says something that blows my mind, and sometimes when we are under stress, we say similar things. Notice what Martha says to Jesus in verse 40. Dost thou not care? Do you see that? Dost thou not care? Now, my friend, if there's anything you want to ask God, it's not, God, don't you care about me? How much does God care about you? He cares so much for you that he sent his only begotten son to shed his blood and die on a cross for the covering of your sins. Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. My friend, I got to tell you this morning, he cares for you. But when you're cumbered about and you're burdened and you're trying to please everybody and your deadlines aren't meeting, suddenly you think nobody cares, nobody notices, nobody said how good your casserole was. And you wonder if God even cares about you. There was a man years ago named Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was a wonderful preacher and a singer. He would go preach evangelistic meetings in the southeastern United States. And Charles Weigel came home from a meeting one week. He'd been preaching all week long. His wife had been losing her joy some. And when he got home, she had written a note to him that said, "I cannot be the wife of an evangelist. I'm not going to travel with you. I don't like doing this anymore. I'm moving back with my mother." The preacher was devastated. He began to seek some counsel, but it just didn't seem like it would work. And he got so despondent, he got so discouraged that at one point of all things, he even thought of ending his own life. Charles Weigel one day was referred to Dr. Lee Robertson, and Dr. Robertson at the Highland Park Baptist Church began to counsel with him and talk to him about how God loved him and God was not finished with him and God had a plan for him. And God began to put the song back in Weigel's heart. They had a little apartment there at Tennessee Temple University where Mr. Weigel could live. And one night as Weigel began to focus on the Word of God and some of the truths that he had learned, he began writing a song, and he wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." The song says, "I would love to tell you the story of what Jesus has done for me. I'd love to tell you how much Jesus has done for me." You might be in a place right now where you're lonely, you're all alone, you're wondering if anybody cares. It seems like your family doesn't care, your friends don't care, and sometimes you might wonder if God even cares. And I'm here to tell you this morning, no one ever cared for you like Jesus does. He cares for you this morning. She made an improper accusation, and then she makes an inappropriate demand. Now listen to what she says to the Lord. She says in verse 40, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." He says, "Lord, I want you to bid her." That means to command. I want you to tell her to help me. I want you to tell her right now that she is supposed to help me. Of course, Jesus does not do that. And you'll find in the life of Jesus that he is all wisdom. He is all-knowing. And oftentimes when people would tell him what to do, he would use that as a teaching moment. One time there was a woman caught in adultery in the very act. The Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus and they threw her on the ground in front of Jesus and they said, "This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What would you do?" Jesus leaned over and he began to write in the sand. And most Bible scholars say that he wrote the Ten Commandments, as if to say to those men, "You are as guilty as she is. The one of you that is without guilt, let him cast the first stone." Jesus simply responds by showing us what we need to learn. We see a comparison, Martha and Mary, two different sisters. We hear one sister who didn't have time to sit at Jesus' feet complaining and griping and filled with anxiety in her life. But notice finally, if you would, a commendation. Jesus is going to commend one of these sisters. Now before he does the commendation of Mary, notice how he corrects Martha. Jesus corrects Martha. Verse 41, please, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, I don't know how it was when you were growing up. When one of my parents said my name twice, I took note. If my mom said, "Paul, come here," I would come, sometimes at my leisure, I'm sad to say. If my mother or father said, "Paul, Paul," I quickened my pace to get in there. And if they ever said, "Paul William," I patted my backside before I went into the room. You learn how to respond differently to different invitations. When Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," he wants her attention. He is giving emphasis to her because he's about to identify her problem. And her problem is a problem that I have had, and it's a problem that some of you have, and it's a problem that all of us can have. Notice what his diagnosis of her problem is. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, let's take that word careful and just work with it a little bit. If you take the word careful and put the word full in front of the word care, what do you get? Martha, Martha, you are full of care. The word careful means to be anxious. Martha, Martha, you are full of care. You are anxious. You are worrying. And may I say that what began with a lack of faith, what began with a lack of priority, has now become a time of worry. And may I tell you that worry is one step away from anxiety. May I remind you that in this life, when we find ourselves not sitting at Jesus' feet, we become candidates to worry more about the things of this world. And the Bible is clear, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, I don't want you to be careful. I don't want you to be troubled about so many things. He says to Martha, you are troubled, verse 41, about many things. Here was a woman who was filled with fear and worry. And she was worried about whether she was being accepted. She was worrying about whether she was being appreciated. She was spending all this time wondering what other people thought about her, not realizing the most important thing for life is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to bask in his acceptance and to glory in his word and to grow from his revelation. And here we see that this woman, Martha, was missing the one needful thing. And some of you have your job and you have your overtime and you have your craft and you have your to-do list and you have your worries and your children and your health and all of these things, and they're all important, but one thing is most important on your priority list, and that one thing is being with Jesus. Sometimes a pastor will prepare a message, perhaps for a family emphasis, perhaps in some area, and preach the message, and someone who just had to have that extra time at work, or had to do that extra thing, or had to have that extra hobby, or scheduled games on Sunday, and they just, they're doing all these other less needful things, and one day the breakdown comes, and one day the crisis comes, and a pastor thinks, well, if they could have just been hearing, it might have prevented. And the fact of the matter was that what Mary was doing was the most needful thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus corrects Martha, but notice secondly, Jesus commends Mary. Now here's the lesson, and don't miss it. If you haven't been getting anything, don't miss this. Verse 41, 42 rather. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now would you read this verse with me, please, and then we'll finish the message. Ready, begin. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. That means of necessity. Now, my friend, do not tell me that the Bible is irrelevant. Jesus is saying, you're full of anxiety, you're full of worry. America takes more pills today than we ever have in the history of this country. There's more alcoholism than there ever has been. There is more psychiatry. Listen, my friend, if there's ever been an era of worry and anxiety, we are living in it today. And Jesus says, I've got to tell you, there's one thing that's needful. And Mary has found what it is. Mary has learned to make the better choice. Now, notice, if you will, that Mary, the Bible tells us, is commended. Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, this term, good part, is speaking figuratively of the spiritual meal that she was enjoying. Martha had the physical down pat. You talk about the Cooking Channel. Martha would have been twirling knives on the Cooking Channel. And all the folks on the Cooking Channel would have had to have taken a back seat because Martha had it down pat. But Martha missed the one thing that was most important, the good part, the good meal. You might be that type that is a type A. You might think constantly, rapidly, polyphasically. You might be able to multitask. You might be able to get so many things done. You might be climbing some ladder and doing really well. And I'm glad that you are. And God uses Marthas, and thank God that He does. But listen, my friend, there's a lesson for all of us this morning. If you're getting all that stuff done, but you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, you're missing the one needful priority of life, and that is to know God, and that is to know the love of God, and to understand the Word of God. That is what you and I need more than anything else. And you watch the man or woman that gets everything else and doesn't get God, soon everything else falls apart. Marriage, job, finances, one thing after the next. That's why Jesus said, she has chosen the good part, notice this, which shall not be taken away. Now, you know, all of us love the blessings of this life. And you might go out for a nice dinner. You might sit there and, man, what a salad, what a soup. Those hors d'oeuvres were great. That was the best dinner. It lasts about as long until you get in your car to go home. That's it. Martha's world is a temporal world. Well, what about the car? It lasts about as long as until the first dent in the car. All these things that we could mention in Martha's world. What about the acceptance of men? Have you noticed the same man or woman that was nice to you sometime later is not nice anymore? It's all temporal. So look what Jesus says about Mary in this final verse. He says, she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When you sit at Jesus' feet and you learn of Him and you learn principles from Him and you grow in His grace, you are learning and gleaning things that will last forever, that will make an impact on eternity, and that no one can take away from you. It becomes a part of you. And so I want to ask you a few questions this morning. First, is there anybody in this room that has lost their joy in serving? Is there anybody here this morning that, like Martha, boy, they need someone to rally at the Red Cross, I'm there. They need someone to be a part of standing up for right, I'm there. Someone that'll be a soul winner, I'm there. Boy, you've been a part of this, you've been a part of that, you've been a part of all these things, but now suddenly, the joy is gone. Is there someone here this morning that you're still at church, but you've lost your joy? You sometimes even wonder if God cares. You wonder if anyone cares. Is there someone here that's lost that? I wonder, is there someone here this morning who then would say, I must improve my worship of Christ. I've got to get closer sitting at His feet. More than I need aerobics, I need discipleship. More than I need overtime, I need preaching. Is there someone here that realizes the loss of joy? Listen, the joy was not attained by the achievements you thought the joy would come from them. You're realizing now you've got to get back in worship of Christ and sitting at Jesus' feet. Is there someone today that needs to rearrange some priorities?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we're offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Paid in Full. It's yours when you make a donation to this ministry. Visit paulchappell.com to find out more. Chappell is spelled C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L.
Sometimes it can be hard to tell what makes Christian college valuable to you. When you consider a college, it's important to choose a place that will nurture your faith the most. West Coast Baptist College is a four-year Bible college dedicated to training men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know someone who is, visit our website today at wcbc.edu.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.